Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. Whether we're studying about life's journey or whether we're learning more about God's power, we know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk.
Philippians 4 will be our first verse, verse number 6. I'll pray, we'll hear one song, and then we'll get right into our message tonight. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the privilege of being in this house of prayer tonight. And I pray, Lord, even now that you would strengthen our faith and encourage our prayer life because of this time. I thank you for the many answered prayers I've heard about already this week. I pray that you would again show yourself mighty in the midst of the Lancaster Baptist Church family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, all of us tonight have much to be thankful for, and all of us tonight as we gather in this midweek service could ponder many of the wonderful things the Lord has done for us. And I certainly have much to be thankful for tonight. And when I think of some of those areas of thanksgiving, I think about some of the particular identifications and relationships that God has given to me individually. I think of the fact that God allowed me, of all places, to be born in the United States of America. And I'm so glad and thankful tonight that I am an American. I'm so thankful for our freedom. I thank God for the red, white, and blue. I thank God for our governmental system. Even when I get frustrated with some of the governmental leaders, I thank God for our democracy. And I get frustrated with those that want to ask permission from the United Nations to do so many things, because I just believe that as a sovereign nation, we have the right to protect ourselves, and we don't need to seek the permission of others. And I'm not as interested in all the global stuff as I am thankful for the red, white, and blue, and for America. I'm thankful that I'm an American tonight. I remember as a young boy, my grandmother pulling me aside, and farm people are very simple. They get right to the point, some things. And my grandmother, she grabbed me by the cheeks one day, and she said, "Now, Paul," she said, "you're a Chappell. Don't you forget that." And "Yes, ma'am." I'll never forget how she'd have these talks with me. "Don't you forget that. And you be thankful. And we're just farmer people, but you be proud." And I've tried to be one that would carry on our family heritage in a way that would not bring the name down. Sometimes we all have a few nuts in our family tree. I understand that. And all of us would say, I wish everyone in our family would subscribe to that concept, that philosophy. But I've tried in my own life and for my own sons and daughters that they would be thankful for their family heritage, thankful for America, thankful for our family heritage. I'm thankful tonight that I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm glad that God put me in a Baptist church. I mean, Baptists believe in the Bible as our sole authority, and we believe in the autonomy of the local church and the priesthood of every believer, and we have two ordinances, and we have individual soul liberty. We don't have to hope someone else will help us get into heaven and pray for us and so forth. And I'm just thankful tonight that we have two ordinances, and I'm thankful tonight to be a Baptist. I'm thankful to be an independent Baptist. I'm glad we don't send our missionary money to a headquarters that takes 34% right off the top. I'm glad we have a relationship directly with our missionaries as independent Baptists. I'm thankful that we're a part of a soul winning movement and a Bible believing movement. And these are identifications in our lives that we can be thankful about. But beyond all of it, I mean being an American, I mean being a Chappell, I mean being a Baptist, I mean being an independent Baptist, there's nothing in my life that I am more thankful for tonight than being a blood-washed, born-again Christian tonight. I'm just thankful tonight that I am saved, and I'm thankful that I'm a child of God, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I am a Christian tonight. And one of the reasons I'm so glad and so thankful that I am not a Hindu or a Buddhist or a free thinker or an atheist or whatever belief or non-belief you want to talk about tonight. One of the reasons I am so glad that I'm a Christian is because Christians have the privilege of praying directly to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you, it's something that we ought never to take for granted. There are many traditions in the prayer sphere, many kinds of prayer out in the world today. Now, I've seen a lot of it in my very young life. I've seen men pray for hours to idols. I remember as a young boy in Korea, I remember visiting specifically one summer, my brother and I and a missionary friend, Brother Jack Agar, we took our bikes down to Busan and we got on the ferry and went over to Jeju Island. And we rode our bikes all the way around this island. And the missionary was surveying the island. There was no Baptist church there at the time. And we had tents and we just kind of rode a while and then pitched a tent and fished out in the ocean with these little hooks on the end of a bamboo with a big kind of a rubber band. And that's how we got dinner. It was actually kind of fun doing that. And I'll never forget getting on the back side of that island. And up on a hill, there was a Buddhist temple. At that time, I was fairly interested in photography, and I said, I want to go up and get a picture of that oriental scene there up on the hill. I got up and took some pictures, and I could hear from the distance the pounding of the gourd. And you could hear the pounding of the gourd and the chanting of the Buddhist monk. And I heard it earlier in the day, faintly, but as I got closer, you could hear it more and more pronounced. And then I went and I stood sort of at the side of the door and I looked in. And I saw as there were seemingly hundreds of little Buddhas there on the shelf. And that man would look at one for a while and kind of chant and hit the gourd. And then he'd look at another one. I found out later that people had purchased those for large sums of money, hoping that the monk would pray for their relatives to someday get up into the happy place, Nirvana. And people had given money, and that man was praying, and it just left an imprint in my mind, as the Old Testament says, that so many will pray to idols that have eyes, but they cannot see, and ears, but they cannot hear. And I remember as a teenage boy thinking, I am glad I don't pray to a stone god. I remember in Singapore years later, watching a family as they came, and they brought their little baby into the Hindu temple. And I remember as they wanted to get the demons out of the baby, you talk about child abuse, they held that baby's hands over an open fire until the baby was screaming, until there were blisters on the hand. And I asked the missionary, what are they doing? Why would they be allowed to do that? And the missionary said, they're trying to get the demon to come out of the baby. They're praying to their gods, their Hindu gods, and hoping somehow to exorcise this little child. And I remember thinking again, I'm glad I'm not a Hindu. I'm glad that I can pray directly to my Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not punish ourselves as we pray, for we pray to one who was punished for us, and his name is Jesus Christ. I've seen men in the Philippines as they walk down the street and pray. I've seen them take whips with chunks of stone and metal intertwined. I've seen them put the lashings on their back as they walk along the way to the Roman Catholic Church, and as they have literally mutilated themselves, trying to somehow appease their concept of God. And by the way, lest you think otherwise, there is much in the name of paganism to be found around the world in the Roman Church. And they were trying through this bringing blood to somehow get the attention of God. And I've seen in Costa Rica as men and women have climbed up the stairs on their hands and knees to the point, and some of our teenagers have seen it too, that blood comes now from their knees and their legs and stains the steps going up to the church, because somehow they believe that through that type of sacrifice they can have their prayers heard more readily by God. And I'm saying that when I see the perversions of prayer And when I hear of people walking and literally giving their life savings to go to Mecca so they can get a little closer to get their prayers done, I'm thankful that I have a prayer closet and I can go directly to my Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm a Christian tonight. I'm glad that I can come boldly to the throne of grace and that I can pray to one who has already suffered on Calvary's tree so that I might come in and pray to him. That's what's in your notes there in the introduction. Hebrews 4:14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And friends, we're going to bow down and pray in just a few moments together. And we're going to ask God to help people who need help and to help our church and to provide for us. And I want to challenge you right at the very offset of this message that whatever you pray tonight, pray it boldly, because that's how your Father in heaven wants you to come to Him. Boldly come to the throne of grace, the Bible says. I want you to think with me tonight about what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be able to pray as a Christian. Just a brief message, but think of it first of all, the message of prayer. Think about the message of prayer tonight. In the Bible, God has given us a message. And if I could paraphrase His message, it would be something like this: I want to hear from you. God wants to hear from me and from you. And that's His message. Oh, we give that message to our loved ones. Oftentimes we'll say, "Don't forget to write. Don't forget to stay in touch." Sometimes we'll say to our kids, "Don't forget to call. Send us a text. Let us know how you're doing. Let's be sure to stay in touch." There's not a parent in this room tonight who wouldn't say, "I love it when my kids give me a call, or when they ask my advice, or when they drop me a note, or when they send me an email just to say howdy. I love it when my children acknowledge me." How many parents would say amen to that? Is it not humbling that there's a God in heaven who says about the same thing to us? I know it's going to be tough down there. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But He wants to hear from us. Notice the command to pray. Luke 18 and verse 1, He says, "I want you to pray constantly. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. He says, "I want you to pray constantly. I want you to get into the habit of talking to me." And I believe we need special private time in the morning. And we ought to have our quiet time before we start the day. But then throughout the day, as you're walking around the corner, "Lord, I need your help and wisdom right now as I go to this meeting. God, help me and grant me your favor as I move into this next meeting today. Lord, bless my wife right now and strengthen her. And bless my children today and protect them." Men ought always to pray. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. I mean, you can pray when you're driving. I recommend you keep your eyes open when you do that. But you can pray when you're driving. You can pray always, always pray constantly. And then we see, secondly, we're to pray about everything. We're to pray about everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And we're to pray with thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The scriptures are replete with commandments like this and with invitations like this. "I want to hear from you," God says. "I want you to come to me and pray, 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 pray." Oh, tonight, we don't have to go and to a priest and ask him, "Please get my prayer up there. And please get my loved one out of purgatory and into heaven. And please help me with my prayer." Oh, I thank God for intercessory prayer. But you don't have to depend on someone else to get your message to God. You can go directly to Him. Pray, pray. And then notice not only the command to pray, but notice, if you would, the conditions of prayer. We can't cover all of them tonight, but our Heavenly Father has given to us certain conditions that please Him when we pray. Certain ways that we might come to Him when we pray. Notice, first of all, we're to pray in faith when we come to the Lord. I've preached this and quoted this verse hundreds of times to our church family and to myself, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Now, you know, over the years, I've thought to myself, that is such a basic thing to say. Why does God say, if you're going to come to me, you need to believe that I am? Why does he say that? Could it be because of so many unsaved church members? Could it be because of so many saved church members whose hearts are filled with unbelief? The fact of the matter is that many Christians, by the way they live, deny that they truly believe the existence of a God. And he says, now when you come to me, you've got to believe that I am. And I've been meditating on this in my own life the last many months. I've been meditating on the word Father. And I've often in recent months in my prayer said, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being my Heavenly Father. Thank you for the relationship we have. Thank you for being a loving Father. Thank you for loving me as your son. I like that word, Father. And I've told the Lord over and over again, I like the word Father. And I'm so glad he's my Father. And as I've said that in prayer, it's reinforced this principle. He that cometh to me must believe that he is. And I'm reinforcing in my own heart and mind, Lord, Father, I believe that you are. You are my Father. You are real to me and with me. And I am abiding in you. And we must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder, notice this, of them that diligently seek him. He is interested in your fellowship and mine and in our seeking of him. And he says, I want you to come believing that I am, coming with faith and diligently coming before me. And then he says, secondly, I want you to pray not only with faith, but with a pure heart. Now, I get frustrated sometimes with Christians who take a wrong attitude about having a pure heart. And this is what I mean by that. Sometimes you'll meet a Christian who says, well, I'm not really right with God, so why pray? No. Why not get right with God? I'm not really right with God, so I will not partake of the Lord's table. No. Let's get right with God and partake of the Lord's table. And the Bible says, and you'll notice it in your notes, 2 Chronicles 16:8, were not the Ethiopians and Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord, notice this, this is a great verse, folks. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That means there's a God in heaven who's my heavenly Father who wants me to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him and that he is diligently tonight seeking me and his eyes are going to and fro and he's looking for the man tonight saying, oh God, I want you to bless my family. Oh God, keep my marriage together. Oh God, help my work. Oh God, give me an offering for Sunday. God, do something that only you can do. There's a God in heaven. He's looking to and fro and he's looking for men and women who are looking for him. Wow. That's an amazing thought. That our God has eyes that are looking over the whole earth to show himself strong. Where? In the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. God's looking up and down these pews tonight for men and women with a heart that's pure for him. And I got to tell you something. He doesn't care what your job is or your address is or who you're related to. There's one thing he's looking for. Does he have a heart for me? You see, he wants you to pray with a pure heart. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He says, you're not going to pull a fast one over on God. You're not going to be living in rebellion and scornfulness towards God and expect that he, as your heavenly Father, is going to honor your scorn and your rebellion. He says, no, I want you to come to me with a pure heart. And when your heart is that pure, you're going to see my blessing. John R. Rice said every failure is a prayer failure. And yet we must come to God with a pure heart. May I say very quickly, we must come to God in accordance to His Word. And John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, quite simply, my friend, God will not honor a prayer that's not said in faith. God will not honor a prayer that's not said by a man with a pure heart. God will not honor a prayer that's against His Word. He will not answer a prayer that violates the Scripture. And then we must pray that God's will would be done. John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. The message of prayer is clear. God says, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you in a certain way. I want you to come with faith. I want you to come with a pure heart. I want you to come according to my word and according to my will. And I want you to come over and over with importance. Opportunity God wants to hear from us. And so the message of prayer is clear in the Bible. God wants to hear from us. But notice secondly tonight, the means of prayer. And by this, I mean the different ways that we can pray. We won't cover them all tonight, but there are many ways to come. And notice, if you would, first of all, we're to come with supplication, Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The word supplication means to seek, to ask, to entreat, to beg, and to come to God with supplication. George Mueller, the great British prayer warrior and preacher and overseer of the orphanages that touched so many lives, said, the great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. If they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. You see, he was a man who learned how to pray. And we see it over and again in the Word of God. Supplication, importunate prayer, and seeking God and entreating God in prayer. God says, I want you to come to me asking and bringing your need and come out forthright with it. I want to know your heart. And that's a good thing to know, because all of us know that we're to worship God in prayer, thank God in prayer, confess sin in prayer. All of those are attributes of prayer. But when you get to the heart of it, prayer is saying, God, you're God, and I'm frail and weak, and God, I need your help. That's prayer. It's supplication. And then secondly, when I think of the means of prayer, there's fasting with prayer. Prayer with fasting. John R. Rice says in his book on prayer, the spirit of fasting simply means that one, for the time being, is willing to abstain from the otherwise normal and proper duties or pleasures that he may give himself wholly to the business of prayer. So fasting is really putting God first when one prays, wanting God more than one wants food, more than one wants sleep, more than one wants fellowship with others, more than one wants to attend to business. You see, when a man is fasting, he's saying to God, God, you know that which I've been supplicating about. You know the burden of my heart, Lord. And Lord, I want you to know that more than food, I want to see you do something mighty in my life. More than food, Lord, I want you to touch the heart of this lost one. More than food, God, I'm asking you to provide for my offering. More than me, I want you to be glorified. This is what fasting tells God Almighty, that we would come to Him as Esther came for her nation in prayer. Esther 4:16. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nor night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Oh, what a tremendous statement as we think about the great prayer and the great heart of a woman of God, Esther, who said, I'm going to go into the king. I'm going to plead the cause of the people. I want you to fast. I'm going to fast. And let's pray that God would do something great and wonderful. And if it's God's will that I perish, then I perish, but I'm going to perish believing that God is doing His will. Prayer. Prayer with fasting. Oh, I think of the time that Jesus delivered one from demonic oppression. And the disciples couldn't believe it. And the disciples watched the whole thing. And in Mark 9:28, when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? Why don't we see this stuff happen in our lives? And how can we see something miraculous in our church? And he said unto them, this kind cometh about and cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting. Jesus said, if you want to see the mighty hand of God, this kind of answer to prayer, this kind of wonderful, miraculous answer to prayer, this kind, Jesus said, comes about only by prayer and by fasting. And there are times in our life when we must say, Lord, there's something I want you to do. There's something I need for you to do, Lord. I believe it would please you. I believe it's according to your will. And Lord, I want you to know how much I need you. And because of that, I'm going to lay aside Big Macs. I'm going to lay aside In-N-Out. I'm going to lay aside Chinese. I'm even going to lay aside Mexican. I'm setting it all down. And instead of spending 30 minutes to feed my face, I'm going to spend 30 minutes on my face praying to God in heaven. I don't want to be critical. But I have given many hours counseling wonderful people that I love about great dire needs in their life, and many of those men have not darkened the door of this church house when the men of this church pray on Saturday at 4:30. That's not the only time you have to pray, I understand that. But may I announce publicly, if you have a burden in your life, if you have a need to have something answered in prayer, there's 50 to 100 men that sit right here on Saturday night and beg for God to do something great. And you're welcome to come. I'm saying, when it gets all over you that you've got something in your life that you need answered prayer for, you're going to ask for prayer. You're going to put your name in the church bulletin. You're going to ask your class to pray. You're going to ask your friends to pray. You're going to come to the prayer meetings. You're going to go everywhere there's a prayer meeting, and you're going to say, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. God, more than this food, I need you to help me. The problem tonight is that many Christians are not desperate for God. We can figure it out our way. We can manipulate our budget. We can figure out a way this way or that way. But every once in a while, God will bring us to a place where without Him, it will not happen. I mean, this kind cometh about only by prayer and fasting, Jesus said. Fasting with prayer, letter C, the means of prayer, corporate prayer. Corporate prayer. I must hasten. God wants us to pray, if you're married, as a couple in unity. How many of you heard me say lately, you couples get together on this thing? Have unity. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as under the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. He says, you make sure in your marriage that you're together in unity, so that when you pray, you have that pure heart. Your prayers are not hindered. By the way, as a church, we must pray corporately. We must learn that something happens when churches pray together and in unity of spirit coming, like we're going to do tonight, with one heart and one mind, striving together in prayer, seeking the face of God, Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Listen, it's a wonderful thing as a church to pray and ask God corporately, Lord, we're here together seeking your will in the matter. Notice the message, notice the means, notice certainly the mediator of our prayer. The mediator of our prayer. Oh, you know who he is. His name is wonderful. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And the Bible speaks of him in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, that we have a mediator between God and men, and it is the man Christ Jesus. D.L. Moody said, some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is not to come at all. I say it again. If you love your children and they've had a problem in their life and they did not come to you seeking help with that problem and you learned of it, it would grieve your soul, because a parent delights in helping a child with his problem and his need. And God Almighty says, I want you to come to me. And I like the hymn that says, we come to the Father through the Son. He's our mediator. We pray in Jesus' name. I prayed last night at the city council. And thank God they have prayer over there. And they're taking a stand for it right now. And I wanted to make myself available. And guess what? We don't have politically correct prayers for the city council. We pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. But you know, there's another person of the Godhead that helps me in prayer. We pray to the Father. We pray because of and through the Son. And sometimes the burdens get so heavy. And you almost really don't know how to pray sometimes. You ever come to a place with a loved one? You want to express something so badly, but you're not exactly sure how to say it. Maybe it's because of grief. Maybe it's because of some stress. And when it comes to communicating with God, He so wants to hear from us that His Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. In other words, sometimes we don't even know what to say. We're overwhelmed. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and I don't have time to develop it, but that is not speaking of the so-called tongues movement. It's speaking about the burdens. It's speaking about those times when you try to talk, but all you can do is cry. It's speaking about those times when your burden is so heavy that you can hardly get a word out. The Bible says that the Spirit of God helps with our infirmities, verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I said, I'm thankful to be a Christian because of the way Christians get to pray. I'm thankful that I get to pray to the Father through the Son, and that when the burdens are so heavy, the Holy Spirit of God is there helping me and making intercession for me and understands my heart when I can't make the words right and the syllables aren't matching and I just can't seem to get it out. And maybe you just sit there and blubber like a little baby. There's a God in heaven who says, I understand, I understand, I understand. I'm thankful I have a God who understands today. And then I want you to see finally tonight the miracles of prayer. The miracles of prayer. Matthew 17 and verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I've seen God work in many ways to empower ministry through prayer. There were some young men, college students in London, England. They wanted to go one afternoon on a Sunday to hear Charles Haddon Spurgeon preach. They had heard of him but had never been there. They had never seen the man. But they had heard about this Baptist preacher. They went to the Spurgeon Tabernacle, the Metropolitan Tabernacle, as it's called. They walked in and there were some people milling about. A man came up and said, would you like to see the building? Sure, they said. He showed them the pews and the pulpit and he said, would you like to see the furnace room? They thought that a strange question, but wanting to oblige their host, they said, all right. He took them down the stairs, around the back of the choir area, down another flight of stairs. He opened a room. When they opened the door to the room, the young men looked out, and they saw the entire basement filled with 500 people who were praying and weeping and begging God to bless Pastor Spurgeon as he preached, and to help the unconverted to get saved, and to help those with burdens to have their burdens lifted. And he said, young men, these 500 people will pray as I stand and preach the message this evening. They will be here. And he said, this is the heater room, this is the furnace room, and this is where the power of God comes from. And they realized they were speaking to Spurgeon himself, and that he was sharing with them the secret to his ministry was not the pulpit, the platform, nor his oratory ability. But the secret was the prayers of the people of God, you see. I don't take it lightly when people say, Pastor, I don't know why, but I prayed for you at such and so time yesterday. I believe the Holy Spirit prompts that. The Bible says in Acts 4 and verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken together where they were assembled. You see, my friend, Sidlow Baxter said it this way, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. You say, well, I'm dealing with a situation, the guy's just a hard nut, and I've got a problem that's just a big rock, and I've got circumstances, I don't know how to overcome them. And I say to you tonight, take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. He'll empower ministry. May I say, this miraculous hand of God will provide materially. I'm not talking about some faith healing type of a preaching thing. I'm talking about the Word of God right now. There is a God in heaven who meets the needs of His children. And the Bible says in Luke 11 and verse 2, and He said to them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. I've been so blessed from young couples and folks who've been married a while and single adults in the last several days saying, Pastor, God is providing a way for me to give in the offering. And God did something I could never have expected. And some wonderful stories from some people who have prayed, God, give me provision, give me some daily bread. Matthew 6:31, therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all things, these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, my friend, tonight, in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.